Now, many of you know that I don't really follow sport, but someone brought this headline to my attention this week, and despite my general ignorance, it's a story I actually know about. After the ball tampering scandal, Steve Smith has returned to the Aussie cricket team, and some call this the return of a prodigal son. If you're not a cricket fan, if you're visiting us from a faraway country, the backstory is that Steve Smith was given a 12-month ban on playing. And the reason for this was that he was the captain during a ball tampering scandal, a scandal that rocked Australia in March last year. Back at that time, people said it was a fall from grace. Though it had nothing to do with grace. Steve had earned his position on the team. He deserved to be captain, and he would have kept that position as long as he performed. It was a fall from honour, though not grace. And you might remember that famous press conference, the one held at the Sydney airport, as Smith and the other two players returned home in shame. Steve nobly fessed up to what he'd done wrong, and he vowed to earn back the respect he lost. Do you remember what he said? I'll do everything I can to make up for my mistake and the damage it's caused. I hope in time I can earn back respect and forgiveness. There's no grace here. His only hope is to make up and earn. He's not expecting grace. He knows he needs to pay back for what he's done. And I understand he's still paying back for his wrongs. When he went out to bat in the World Cup, he was booed and jeered by the English crowd. And one commentator said the noise was at fire and brimstone levels. For this wayward son, who was once the golden boy of Aussie cricket, he's going to have to pay the cost of his mistakes. And perhaps then he'll regain the respect he once had. Perhaps he'll earn the forgiveness he seeks. Perhaps. Today we've heard from the Bible about a wayward son, a son who lost his way, a son who thought perhaps he could earn his way back to his father. And maybe as you listen to the story Jesus told, whether it was on the video with the rap song or as it was read from the Bible, maybe it resonated with you. Maybe you feel like that prodigal son, and you wonder whether God might allow you to earn some forgiveness. Now, Jesus at this time actually told three stories. We heard all three, and they go together. We're going to skim over the first two to set the scene, and we're going to focus on the last one. But before we get to the stories, why is Jesus telling them? Well, the religious leaders are critical of Jesus. They're critical of him because he's willing to welcome people, people they reject, people they think are below them, people are unacceptable to them, and they think that they're unacceptable to God. These Pharisees, these religious leaders, they are rule keepers, and they're critical of Jesus hanging around with rule breakers. Have a listen from verse 1, Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." What would people think if a respected community leader, a politician, a business leader, a religious leader, what would you think if they were always surrounded by bikies or addicts? We're quick to throw stones at the Pharisees, but I reckon we know where they're coming from. Well, Jesus answers their criticism because they might be religious, but deep down they've got a problem with God. And so he tells two stories, the story of a lost sheep and a story of a lost coin. They're stories about something which is lost a long way away, something lost in the wilderness and something which is lost at home. And in the stories, we see there's two ways of being lost. And when they're found, there's only one response: ridiculous rejoicing. The shepherd and the lady, they're ridiculous, aren't they? Risking 99 sheep for the sake of one. And then throwing a party over 1% of your flock. It's crazy, because just think about how many lambs are going to be born next season. It's crazy. And the woman, yes, she's regained 10% of her savings, but I wonder how much it costs her to throw a party for her friends and neighbours. Rejoicing over a coin, it's a little bit too much. And so Jesus tells this story and you see the pattern. Something's lost, it's found, and there's rejoicing. And so when he tells the third story, you'd expect the same. Maybe with the contrast turned up. Maybe the thing lost should be less valuable. And maybe the rejoicing more extreme. But Jesus' third story comes home with a different spin. The story is about a family, a man with two sons. And the younger son is a spoiled brat. And his dad, he's shocking and a bit disappointing, actually. One day his younger brat son comes up and says, "Dad, I want my share of the inheritance." So pick it up in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Now just think about it. When do you get an inheritance? When your parents die. So what this son is saying is, "Dad, you're dead to me. I don't care about you. I just want your stuff." Now for those of us who are parents, it's probably right to say there's nothing you wouldn't do for your kids. But this is a step too far. You'd expect this dad to lose it, to kick out his son, but this father agrees to the suggestion and gives his sons their inheritance. But it gets worse. This brat takes his dad's hard-earned, cashes it in, and spends it on a life his father would detest. Verse 13, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." Now, traditionally, this parable is called the prodigal son. The prodigal, I used to think it meant runaway or bad. That's not what it means. Prodigal means wastefully extravagant or lavish. And so it's the right word to use for this son. He is prodigal in his use of the inheritance. He spends like there's no tomorrow. He spends every cent of his living father's to try and find the good life. But then the money and the food run out. Verse 14. "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." He's got no money, no food, no friends. And we've all seen what pigs eat. He must have been desperate. And even more so because for the Pharisees listening in, this is unclean. This younger son thought he'd find the good life. He thought that if he threw off tradition and abandoned his family, he'd finally fulfill all of his desires and live the good life. But a lost life doesn't satisfy. Life apart from his father doesn't satisfy. And so in this pit, he comes to his senses and hatches a plan to redeem himself and to earn his way back. Verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father." Now he's got it all planned. Everything he needs to say to make up for his mistakes. Everything he needs to do to earn forgiveness and respect. He's like our prodigal, Steve Smith. He's on the flight home from South Africa, reflecting on what he's done, thinking about the impact, planning his words. This is our gut level human instinct. When we blow it, we feel we need to earn forgiveness. But that's the thing about forgiveness. You don't deserve it. You can't wind back the clock. It can't be earned. It can only ever be given. And that's what this young son is about to learn, because as he shuffles back home, his father sees him from a distance and he runs to embrace his son. Verse 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son knows what he needs to say. And I reckon in this embrace, the words are even harder to get out than he ever imagined. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And as he feels the father's love, his sin must weigh even heavier. But his dad, he's like the shepherd and the woman, rejoicing over what is found. Verse 22. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Remember what the word prodigal means? Extravagantly wasteful. Lavish. Who's the prodigal? Who's extravagantly generous? What this son deserves, according to Deuteronomy, he deserves to be executed. But that's not the father. He doesn't execute. He embraces. He doesn't require payment. He reinstates him as a son. This son has brought shame on the family, but this father wears the shame and he throws a party. This whole thing, it should be the family secret, but instead the prodigal father throws a party. He is so overjoyed that he wants to share in his joy, and he wants the neighbours and the friends and the servants at this party, and he wants the older brother to celebrate. But the older brother refuses. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. The older son is angry, he's bitter, because he's lost too. I remember with those first two stories, there's a sheep lost far away, and there's a coin lost at home. The older brother's been at home the whole time, but he's lost too. And so he's angry and bitter, and instead of joining his father's party, he throws his own pity party. Verse 28. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, but yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Can you hear the heart of this older son? He's actually the mirror image of his brother. They're both lost because neither love their father. The younger son doesn't want a relationship with his dad, and so he says, give me my inheritance, I wish you were dead. He doesn't want his dad, he just wants the stuff. The older son is the same. He's been a rule keeper all his life, but he's harbouring anger and discontent because he's treated his dad as his master. What he really wants is things. He just wants a goat to have a party. He is a gold digger of a son. like Peggy Hopkins Joyce. She was an actress and a model in the early 1900s. She kept herself in the gossip columns because of her love life. She was married 6 times, claimed she was engaged to be married 50 times. Her marriages were short-lived and resulted in handsome divorce settlements. It doesn't take much to imagine why she got married. It wasn't because she desired a relationship or to know her husband. And the blokes were probably just as shallow. It's too common a story, isn't it? Using someone for what you can get out of them rather than desiring to know them for who they are in themselves. Both of the sons do the same thing with their dad. They don't want him, they just want his things. And so this older son, he's been a rule keeper all his life, not out of love or respect, but he's used his obedience to get stuff out of his dad. He's only obeyed to have power over his dad. Neither of the sons know their dad at all. They don't need to do anything to force his hand. They don't need to make him obligated to them. This dad loves his sons and he shows it through his extravagant generosity. Verse 31. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Who's the prodigal in this story? It's not the story of a prodigal son, is it? It's the story of 2 lost sons and their prodigal father. The younger son is the rule breaker. The older son is the rule keeper, but they're both lost. They're both wayward. Neither knows their father. Now remember, why is Jesus telling this story? All 3 of these stories? It's because of the Pharisees, a bunch of older brothers. If they knew God, if they had a relationship with God, they wouldn't be critical of Jesus and the company he keeps. If they knew God, they'd be rejoicing that sinners and tax collectors are coming home. They'd rejoice that the lost had been found. And it's also being told in the earshot of these tax collectors and sinners that like a daggy sheep or a simple coin or a wayward son, as verse 10 says, heaven rejoices when they're found. There's 2 ways to be lost. Are you like the younger son? Have you been running from God? Are you like the older son? Do you want a banquet just for yourself? Some of our stories are a bit more complicated. Maybe you've been the youngest son, you'd run a long way from God, and now you're trying to earn forgiveness and you've become the older son. You know, it's pretty easy to see younger sons, people who are living wildly, squandering the good things God's given them. It's harder to recognize if you're an older son, because you're good, religious, you're a rule keeper. But look again at the older son. What's he like? Angry. Critical. Self-centered. Self-justifying. Is that you? Are you angry? Angry when you don't get what you want. Angry because you don't think you've got what you deserve. You might be angry at God. Angry at those around you. Those people who break all the rules and you're furious at them because they're not as good like you. Maybe you're angry at yourself. You know the rules, but you're not living up to them. Maybe your anger is a sign that, like the older brother, you're lost. Are you discontent? Do you feel God's holding out on you? You've put in the hard yards for God, you've always obeyed him, and he's not kept up his side of the bargain. Do you lack joy? The Father is full of, overflowing with joy. What brings you joy? Do you have joy even when life isn't quite what you planned? Maybe anger. Maybe it's discontent. Maybe a lack of joy. Are they a sign you're like the older brother? You're lost and you need the Father's love. How can you be found? Well, it's not through religion. The older son had plenty of religion and he was lost. Religion might make you look found. This week, I saw an episode of Stephen Fry in America. Stephen Fry's touring through each of the 50 states and he goes on his journey to the largest jail in America. It's in Louisiana and he drives through it with the warden. And the warden's really interesting. He's a big fan of religion. He wants plenty of it in his jail because, as he says, when people get religion, they get morality. And so they get good. And good people stop doing bad things. And he's right. Give people religion and they'll become older brothers. They'll be rule keepers, angry, discontent rule keepers who don't know God and are lost. Religion makes people like the younger son who comes to his senses but still thinks he needs to earn his way back. Like Steve Smith there at the Sydney airport, he's promising to earn back our respect and love. But there's someone who loves Steve no matter what. It's his dad, standing beside him, with his hand on his son's shoulder. In love, the father pays the cost. The father gives the ring and kills the fattened calf, which is a picture of what God has done in Jesus. In Jesus on the cross, God pays the cost. He gives his own son to receive wayward sons like you and me. God pays the cost. While we are lost, he runs and pays the cost so we can live in his embrace. Our God, Father, Son and Spirit, is the true prodigal. The cross is extravagantly wasteful. The death of the beloved son to restore wayward sons. So come home. Come home to God. And when you've come home to this father, how do you show it? By sharing in his extravagant generosity. If you know the father, if you know his love, then join his generous feast. As followers of Jesus, we should be known for our generosity. Generous in inviting people to meet our generous God. Inviting others to know the Father's love and to feel his embrace. And feasting, celebrating should be what we are known for. God wants his church to overflow with his joy. That's one of the reasons we have meals together. There's always too much food because we love being generous. Maybe it's also because we're not great at organising, but we just love being generous. And we want our tables to be open for others to join us. If you don't normally stick around when we have lunch, can I challenge you to do it today? Especially if you didn't bring anything to share. That gives you even more reason to stay, to enjoy prodigal generosity. And to celebrate in a small way the overflow of God's love. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that we can call you Father because that's who you are. You are the Father Jesus reveals to us in his life, death, resurrection and in these parables. You are the Father who welcomes wayward sons home. You are the Father who embraces wayward sons, sons who don't deserve your love or forgiveness, but you are the prodigal Father who lavishes love and grace. We pray for those of us who are lost, whether we are lost far away, lost like the younger son, or if we're lost at home, lost like the older son. By the work of your Spirit, show us we're lost. Show us the welcome you are willing to give and bring us home. Please make us a church which is known for our prodigal generosity. Make us more like yourself. Help us to be like Jesus, scandalously spending time and making friends of those others would reject. Help us to be scandalously generous with our time, money. Make us a church which celebrates and rejoices, because this is what we know of you. Amen.